Hey everyone, happy Thanksgiving and welcome into Scrambled Eggs. I'm Joe McKinn, Phil Bush with you here for your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. Sorry if my voice sounds a little under the weather. I've been feeling a little sickly lately, and it's not because of Marquette's offense in the first four games. Phil, a little bit of an awakening for the offense in the Arizona State loss on Monday night. I was slightly encouraged by the loss a little bit because I thought we saw some glimpses of what this offense could become, and I think that maybe lessen the blow of the disappointing loss for me. How about you?
Well, I will say that for all six of my fans out there, I have returned to my cautiously optimistic normalcy with this team. I was pretty despondent prior to the game. I think the game was one of those good bad stories. I mean, it sucked that we lost, but I think there were a lot of positives to take away. So I think ultimately, and maybe I'm giving away the ending of what I think, but I think this game comes down to the offense wasn't as awesome as we thought based on that game, but it was a good thing. But it also shows you that Ohio State wasn't as bad as the offense, you know, wasn't normal bad, and this wasn't normal awesome. So I think we've got some room for improvement, but some general positives to take away.
Yeah, you know, checking the pulse of the Marquette fan base on Twitter, as I often do, before the game, I don't think expectations for the team could have been really any lower, because we learned about an hour before the game that Todd Mayo would not be suiting up. And for a team that has been as offensively challenged as Marquette has been up to that point, really the only game when they were great offensively was against Grambling, and that's a game everyone just kind of justifiably brushes off. But for a team that was shooting 18% from three on the season to lose their only real outside threat coming into the game, I think expectations were, and I was certainly guilty of this, no question about it, that Marquette was going to get embarrassed.
Yeah, I'm really glad we, because you and I talked about whether we do a podcast before or after the game. I was really glad we didn't do it before the game, because I would have said some embarrassing things in the light of what the results were. Because yes, I was really, really down on the team, I have to admit.
Yeah, I tuned in that game fully expecting to see a total blowout and maybe even start watching The Blacklist at 9 o'clock because I would get so bored with it. But Marquette kept me interested, and there were a lot of positives to take away from it. Most notably, I don't know if I want to call it an emergence, a breakthrough, an aberration. We can debate that, but whatever you want to call it, 16 points from Jake Thomas was quite uplifting for this team. He hit 5 of 12 from downtown, including some really key shots in the second half that really got Marquette back into the game. What do you make of 16 points out of Jake Thomas, Phil?
Well, the first half was classic Jake Thomas. Some shots just going, ugh. And then in the second half, he did seem to show some form, and Bill Rafferty talked about it during the game, saying that Jake Thomas had good shooting form. He just wasn't putting it together. I think it was great. He hit some shots. They were crucial for us getting back in. But just like, you know, the Arizona State offense, maybe not the true offense for Marquette, and the Ohio State offense, maybe not the true offense, I wonder if this is a high point for Jake. Like, this is his ceiling. If this is his ceiling, let's not get too excited.
Right, yeah, I'm not ready to put a banner up in the Bradley Center for him, just, you know, after that performance. But
right.
he played well, you know, give him credit. And this is a guy, I hope he stays off Twitter and doesn't see what many people say about him. But let's be honest, and I think everyone who is, maybe even everyone who listens to this podcast and is on Twitter, was guilty of it at some point, just saying it's time to get Jake out of there.
Yeah.
He's just not giving you anything. I think everyone who covers the team, you know, whether they're just a fan or whether they're somebody who's a writer or a blogger, I think we were all unanimous there in the first half saying it's time to bench Jake.
I would like to find the individual that was saying, okay, steady, Jake's going to break through, other than apparently Buzz. Everyone else, I agree, was out on it.
Yeah, everyone was really done with the Jake Thomas experiment at the two guard. But to his credit, and like you said, Raff was really all over it. He said the kid just needs some confidence because he had good shooting form, and he didn't hesitate in those shots in the second half, and he knocked home 5 key 3-pointers and really brought Marquette back into it. Now, will this mean, is this and you hinted on it there, Phil? Was this going to be as good as it gets for Jake, or is he just starting to emerge? Because if Marquette can get 10 points from him on a regular basis like that, have him come off the bench. I say off the bench because I think that's where he should be coming still. But have him come off on the end of the game and hit two or three threes a game. Just a spot-up shooter, because that's what he is. That's his specialty.
Right.
And if he can have that confidence and knock that down, I think he could be a weapon for the team. I'm personally still not sold on him as a starter, as a guy who should be playing 30-plus minutes a game, as a guy who should be a star, as a guy you would draw up, you know, plays for in the final seconds of the game. I'm still not sold on him on that level, but I will give him credit. He played a nice game by his standards. He played well, had some key shots, and Marquette really, really needed it with Todd Mayo out.
Yeah, I agree. I think he came up big when he needed to. I will say this, and this is, I'm going to give him kudos without equivocation, unlike on the offensive end. I was paying a special attention to him on defense. His on-the-ball defense was good, but not only that, he was probably the most effective communicator. And when he was on the wing with Juwan Johnson, especially a couple of times when we were in the 2-3 zone, I think he really kept Johnson in the right position. So there, you got to give him some value and some credit on the defensive end.
Yeah, Jake probably doesn't get enough credit for understanding what Marquette wants to do defensively. And maybe that's why he has earned as many minutes as he has early on. Just being in the system as long as he has, I think that's what has that where he has that advantage.
Right.
I think maybe that's where he's earned some early minutes where some of the freshmen haven't.
Right.
But yeah, I think maybe his defense is a little better than people would assume.
Yeah, but I still, even with the performance he had last night, the thing when you look at it, he played 36 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 36 minutes from Jake Thomas, and we lost by two. You would have knocked me over with a feather if you had told me that. I can't believe that.
Right. Well, and you know, keep in mind, with Todd Mayo being out, somebody had to play a lot of minutes at the guard spot. So maybe that's why we saw 36 from Jake. We saw 25 from Juwan. And that's really where I want to go next. That is the other really big bright spot for me out of the Arizona State loss, is how many minutes Juwan Johnson got and how well he played, because he showed some confidence. He looked better on both ends of the floor. We saw, I wouldn't say a shooting touch. He hit one outside shot. But he he showed an ability to create plays. Even when he missed shots, he was at least driving and creating something for someone else. Like one of his first plays, he drove to the basket, and it was a miss. But the ball came right to Juan Anderson, I think it was, who put it back up. So, I mean, I think he just shows a little bit of an ability to, I guess, get the offense moving a little bit, just to be a moving part, you know, just something else the defense has to plan for.
Right. Well, and I'm not nearly smart enough to do the tempo-free statistics and stuff, but if you look at it, Juwan Johnson, who presumably would spend a lot of time at the two, was more efficient than Jake Thomas. You could argue Jake Thomas's defense was better, so depends on how that efficiency numbers work out. But Juwan Johnson, in 25 minutes, was 4 of 8 from 2, 1 of 3 from 3, had more rebounds and fewer turnovers than Jake Thomas. So, you know, if we project this out, now, again, we can't get as excited about this. This was one game. You know, let's see him do it a couple of games in a row.
But it was one game against a good team.
Right, and against a good team that's got a 7'2" guy that apparently can block anything and everything. You know, so hopefully that means he's kind of turned a corner, put it together. I will say he had a little bit of a Vander freshman year vibe, where he could get to the rim, but once he got to the rim, there was just not quite that definitive touch that he needed to finish some of those. But that'll come with time and experience. So I'm excited, and that's probably the biggest performance for me was Juwan Johnson, because that solves some of the two-guard issues, because presumably Todd Mayo comes back, and then you've got Todd, Juwan, and you've got Jake Thomas. So hopefully Jake Thomas's minutes come down in and get replaced with Todd Mayo minutes, and the three of them spend time at the two. So Jake is probably doing the more appropriate 15, 20 minutes a game as opposed to 36.
I think something we need to clarify for the Twitter sphere, and I guess I'm not even 100% sure, but I believe Juwan is J-A, lowercase J, U-A-N.
I am as guilty of that as anyone else. I capitalize every J in his name.
And I see, and I also see J-U-J-U-A-N, and I'm pretty sure that's not right.
Well, listen, J-A. Chris O'Toole is practically a doctor, and people still can't spell that.
Yes. Some people still put the apostrophe in there.
Yes, so. he is not Irish.
No, he is not.
I've gone to the triple J's for Juwan.
Yeah, that way you just can't screw it up. But Juwan's breakthrough was certainly pleasing to me, and I hope we see much more of him going forward. And the thing we talked about before is, does Buzz trust him? Does Buzz trust him on the floor in big games? And he was on the floor for the final possession, as I recall.
Yes, you know, yes, he was. He was on the opposite wing when Derek drove it, because I remember thinking real time, oh, God, please throw it over there, just because I saw that gargantuan center coming over, and I was, but yeah, he was in for that last possession.
But I think it's good to see that he is starting to earn Buzz's trust. He's starting to earn his place, and I think we will see him as a regular in the rotation. Be interesting to see how the minutes, as you said, are divvied up when Todd Mayo comes back. Not sure how soon that's going to be. I mean, all they said was an ankle on Todd Mayo on Monday, so I don't know what that means.
In Buzz's post game, I listened to his post game this morning. He said that there was no significant damage. He didn't give a, just like with Dwayne Wilson, we don't have a projected return, but it sounded like it was, you know, a week or two potentially. I guess I would not anticipate him for the Wooden Classic, but who knows? And the other thing out of the postgame while we're talking about it, Buzz did talk about how he did talk about Derek Wilson, who I'm sure we're going to get to.
We can go there next.
He said he loves him and he doesn't care what the people on Twitter think.
Oh, so, awesome.
Disconcerting considering some of the things I've said on Twitter. I like my season ticket, Buzz. Please don't take them away. I think we're going to get more Derek, and after last night, we probably should.
Derek had a very good game. 14 points, 7 assists, no turnovers. I really don't think you can ask much more out of Derek Wilson in a game than that.
No, and this is going to be the only time as I stammer, this is the only time I'm going to give myself props ever, but that was the Derek I was anticipating when I made my MVP pick for the season. That, you know, the 14 points, driving into the lane, putting shots up. He did get a shot up over that 7'2" center early in the second half. So, I mean, he was getting in amongst the trees. He's not flashy, but he can be effective when he kind of unleashes himself.
Yeah, you know, in the first half, I was kind of watching Derek and trying to pay attention. And, you know, sometimes he just didn't take many risks. I mean, he just kind of stayed out in the perimeter. He really didn't penetrate. And he did more of that as the game went on. That's when Marquette really started to make its comeback. And, you know, as you said, as when he maybe takes a chance or two and gets into the lane, he was able to get some really key buckets. And he was able to get to the free throw line. He got 4 free throws on the night. Obviously, the last shot of the game didn't go the way we would have wanted. But, you know, what are you going to do? That was really maybe the only really play you really want back from Derek Wilson on the night was the last one. But still, had 14 points. He didn't attempt a three, which is fine with me because that's really not his forte. And the big thing, again, 7 assists to 0 turnovers is a great stat for Derek Wilson.
Well, and I think, I mean, what's remarkable about the 14 points with the driving was, I mean, they were sagging off him as if he was Rajon Rondo. I mean, he had 5 feet free and clear every single time he touched the ball out in the perimeter and was still able to get out and drive the lane. So, I mean, if he can do that consistently, and maybe this is a corner turner for him where he says, hey, you know what, this is something I can do. I can do it with confidence. I'm going to start doing
it. You know what I was thinking about when I was driving home today about Derek Wilson?
What's that?
I think he is kind of like, you know, me being a Kansas City Chiefs fan, he's like the Alex Smith of point guards.
Yeah.
He's not a guy who is the best, who is an elite talent. He's not like, you know, a Marcus Smart when it comes to college point guards. But he's a guy who is, I think to call him a game manager shortchanges him. But he's a guy who doesn't turn it over, just like Alex Smith doesn't turn it over. But that's a big reason he doesn't turn it over is because he doesn't take many chances because he knows his limits. I'm saying that about both Alex Smith and Derek Wilson. So, you know, Derek Wilson maybe not might not take a chance and drive into the lane too much where he's going to turn the ball over and he knows that's out of his comfort zone, or, you know, he's going to drive amongst the trees or try to split two defenders because he knows that's not something he should be doing. He's going to make the smart play and distribute a little more and maybe wait for the smarter play out on the perimeter.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably apt. He's kind of the stereotypical floor general. He's not really a point scorer, but he can if he needs to. He's just going to play smart heads up basketball and play good on the ball defense. I mean, and part of his aggressiveness that was so rewarding was Johnny Carson is a tremendous point guard. He is a tremendous
Johnny Carson.
Talent. Yeah.
How about Jahi?
Oh, Jahi. What? Johnny, Jahi, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. You are correct, sir. Please go on with your analysis.
Yes, he's the Karnak's here to correct me. I don't think anyone our age really probably gets that reference, so
we have to hope
the older listeners get it. But anyway, Carson is a tremendous, tremendous talent, and Wilson driving aggressively picked up a couple of fouls on Carson that took him out of the game. And, you know, and we can say what you want. Oh, we scored. And I've said this is, yeah, we did most of our damage when Carson wasn't in. But that is part of the game.
It is part of the game.
If
a team has one star player, get him out of there.
Yeah. Now, if only we could have done that against Bashinsky or whatever.
Right.
Whatever his name was.
In hindsight, it would have been great if we could have gotten him out of the game.
Yeah.
He only had one foul on the night, but
yeah,
just wasn't in the cards.
No. I'm anticipating it was a corner turner for Derek Wilson. Maybe it should be a corner turner for Trey J. Jake Thomas maybe has a little confidence, so I think we're good. And I think the other thing I want to mention, and we've talked about defense a fair amount, And that's probably why Jake Thomas is getting more minutes and a longer leash. That's also why I'm worried about the free Steve Taylor era, because he got all of 2 minutes, no stats other than two bad defensive plays.
Yeah,
and that's probably why Deontay Burton didn't get more minutes either.
I was a little surprised to see only 2 minutes for Steve Taylor, and maybe it's just one of those things. You know, the minutes aren't always going to look the exact same every night. There are just going to be some games where, for whatever reason, Buzz says this is the five I need to have out there, and he's just going to go with those five. Steve Taylor will get more minutes, especially as they play 3 games in 3 days here coming up over Thanksgiving break. But, you know, in Buzz's defense, I don't know how much Steve Taylor would have helped.
He had two pretty atrocious defensive plays in a row. The one I remember most was I think we were playing man, and Gardner had Bachinski manned up, and Steve Taylor came to double, and instead of doubling from the baseline, he ran around Gardner to Bachinski's outside, and Bachinski just turned into the hoop and dunked it with his left hand. And it was like, what are you doing, Steve? Where are you going? So, and I think he got yanked after that. So once again, it reiterates, Buzz is gonna base everything on the defense first.
And so that was the big thing against Taylor last year, was his defense, and why wasn't he playing more? And he just wasn't that good defensively. So hopefully he continues to make progress, because his ability to rebound, he's shown that.
Yep.
And you know, he'll earn his place one way or the other. You know, in Buzz's defense, there's only 40 minutes in a game and only 5 spots, so you can't play everybody 40 minutes. So
it wasn't Steve's night. But the other thing is Gardner, 33 minutes. That's got to be the most minutes he's played in a game, right?
I can't imagine he's played much more than that. You know, without looking up a stat, you know, I can't imagine there's too many games when he played 35 or more minutes. Even, you know, when Chris Otule was injured, you know, Gardner didn't play every minute of every game. He's got to go out and get a breather sometime. So,
right. So
I can't imagine he's played too many, had too many games. Maybe, I don't know if that's a career high, but it's got to be close.
Yeah, it's got to be close. But that's got to be good news for Marquette, you know, for the rest of the season, that he's capable of putting those kind of minutes together.
Yeah, I don't think really, you know, Buzz likes to joke about Gardner's weight all the time, but I really don't think his fitness is an issue anymore. Yeah, he's still a big boy.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't think there's really a concern of him being able to hold up over the course of a 40-minute game or over the course of a season. You know, he's put in tremendous work to improve his fitness since he's arrived at Marquette. And, you know, I mean, he hasn't lost much weight, but I think he's lost a lot of fat since he's shown up. I mean, he's in pretty good shape for a guy his size, so I don't think his fitness is an issue, and I agree. So the fact that he can play 33 minutes and be effective, 18 points and 12 boards, I think that is a good sign.
Yep, I agree.
That is so. I guess any other notes that we're leaving out from this game? Jamil Wilson maybe didn't have his best game. Kind of a quiet 13 points, I would say. He was out with foul trouble most of the game. He ended up fouling out towards the end there. He had a really kind of a silly foul in the second half that got him his fourth that maybe, you know, put him out for a stretch, and Marquette probably could have used him. You know, I think people kind of keep waiting for Jamil to really explode. I'm not really that concerned about him, but you know he has that in him, the ability to take over a game and just be a star. You just don't see it that much.
Yeah, that's the only thing that really concerns me with him is he should be the straw that stirs the drink, but I don't know if it's mental or what. He's got all the physical tools. He just hasn't he'll do it in flashes, but
right.
But I haven't seen him yet. He should be able to just completely dominate a game.
And he will have, I don't know when, but he'll have a few of those games this year where he really does take over and scores 20-plus points and hitting a bunch of shots. And, you know, maybe he still takes too many threes for his skill set. Cause, you know, he can hit outside shots, but it's not his forte. You'd much rather him just go to the basket. And I think we'll see more of that from him as going forward. But long term, I'm not that concerned. But, you know, Paint Touches even wrote an article after the after the Ohio State game or after the New Hampshire game, saying it's time to challenge Jamil Wilson and time for him to step up. And I thought it was a fair article.
Yeah, and I agree with it. I was thinking something along the same lines. The other thing I wanted to touch on from the game, or at least get your thoughts on, is, you know, we had those two possessions at the end of the game to try and tie or take the lead. One was a shot by Jake Thomas that was, you know, he took a shot. It wasn't a great shot. It was actually, statistically speaking, it was the worst shot in basketball, just inside the 3-point line. Right. So it's just as hard as a 3-point shot without all the value. And then there was the Derek Wilson shot. You know, obviously, I would have liked two better looks, but I think they were okay. The thing that I thought was actually that cost us the game, if you will, is we had two possessions where we had kind of breakaways, one of which was Juwan Johnson, I remember explicitly, where he pushed the ball unnecessarily. And I think that comes with experience, and that's where we'll win games later on in the season, is valuing the possessions so we're not in that position where we're having to take those last second shots.
Yeah, and I guess decision making is going to, you just hope it's going to improve with some of these guys as they get more playing time. Yeah, you know, I know what you're talking about as far as the last two possessions where Marquette did not get off ideal shots. And I think you even said it on Twitter, that's going to be the difference between Marquette in November and Marquette in March, where I think the end of game execution is going to be a little better. You know, Jake had been hot in the second half. Still not sure he was the guy you want taking that shot. I think ideally you would want that in Gardner's hands when all you need is two. If you needed three, I'm fine with Jake taking the shot as well as he had shot in the second half. But, you know, easy to sit back and second guess and say, well, you should have given it to Gardner. But and, you know, Derek Wilson, you know, he hit a floater over the big guy earlier in the game. Maybe he just thought he could get it up there again. He just didn't think you know, Baczynski would get there, but he did. He just swatted it away, and that's just the way it ends.
And with Wilson's shot at the end, obviously I had an issue because we didn't win, and, you know, my dog ran away, you know, in fear as I screamed out. But I didn't think it was a bad shot selection. I mean, again, that's, you know, we're not playing, it's, you know, five games into the season. We're not playing with all our best plays and all that stuff. I didn't think it was a horrible shot. It was unlucky.
Right. Yeah, I think from most people on Twitter, the reactions after the game was Marquette took a step forward, bummed that they lost, of course, but it was overall a step forward, especially if we can continue to get games like that out of Derek Wilson and Jake Thomas and Juwan Johnson. And if you get efforts from those guys most nights, you're going to win those games, especially if you have Todd Mayo and you have a little more support there in the backcourt. You know, Gardner played well, of course. And, you know, maybe if you get just a little bit more from Jamil Wilson to get him out of foul trouble, I think Marquette probably wins that game.
Right, right. Well, and this has just got to be a confidence boost. I mean, because I personally think they may not play as well as they played in the second half all the time for the next month or two, but I do think this is a corner turner. Would you agree with that?
It certainly wasn't a bad thing. You know, right. I wouldn't say it's all going to be roses from here on out. I mean, they'll take step backs here and there. I think that they'll probably still have a head-scratching loss or two on the way at some point, but it definitely ended the overall feeling of this team is in a rut and is never going to get out of it.
Yeah,
I think that was kind of the overwhelming sense on Twitter before the game that this team had no hope at that moment.
Yeah, especially in the first 5-6 minutes of the game when they got down 12, 15 points.
Right. Yeah, and even at that point, people were literally like, you know, this is, you know, we're hitting rock bottom and we're not getting out of it anytime soon. But I think the performance in the second half gave everyone a little hope to say, all right, this is what this team can be. This is how good the team can be going forward. And so I think we're hoping to see that in the Wooden Legacy Classic coming up over Thanksgiving break. And more importantly, hope to see that against Bucky coming up on December 7th, which would be a great game to get.
Yeah.
So. But speaking of the Wooden Legacy, let's talk about what's coming up over the Thanksgiving holiday. So, you know, you don't have to watch the Detroit Lions in the first game of who do the Lions play? Do they play the Packers?
Yeah, they play the Packers.
Oh, that's right. They do play the Packers. With, so I guess everyone will be watching that one, but I'll be watching.
We get a helping of Matthew Stafford versus Matt Flynn. It's going to be exciting.
That'll be delicious.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't have to watch the Cowboys game because Marquette is going to be playing Cal State Fullerton on Thursday. That'll be a 3:30 tip on Thanksgiving Day. Concern for me, first of all, is it is in Fullerton's gym, so it's technically a road game for Marquette. But on the flip side, it is still Cal State Fullerton. This is a team that ranks pretty low in most categories statistically across the nation. They are 2-3 on the season, including losses to USC, San Jose State. They beat something called Santa Clara. Oh, they beat Santa Clara, so they beat them.
The Bananas? Isn't that Santa Clara's like the Bananas or something?
Santa Clara is the Broncos.
Oh, all right. Never
Santa Cruz is the Banana Slugs.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Proceed. Yeah. Once again, I don't let facts get in the way of things I say.
Now, they lost to Seattle as well, and their other win on the season, they opened the season with a win over Montana State.
Well, so if it's a road game for them or for us, and unless Fullerton students throw heavier objects than ASUs, I think we're okay.
You would hope. Yeah, you would hope Marquette could at least get a win in a quote unquote road environment in the first game of the Wooden Legacy. For those unfamiliar, Wooden Legacy Classic used to be called the 76 Classic out in Anaheim. This is the first year they're calling it the Wooden Legacy Classic. 8-team tournament, double eliminate or 8-team bracket. So you're playing three games and three games regardless. It is Miami, Florida. It is George Washington, Marquette, and Fullerton. College of Charleston on the other half of the bracket against San Diego State, and then Creighton and Arizona State at the bottom of the bracket. So potentially Marquette could meet Arizona State for the second time in a week.
Creighton for the first time of potentially five times.
Right, yeah, if you know, assuming Marquette and Creighton meet in the Final Four, which that's getting way ahead of ourselves. But yes,
that's taking the ASU game to lengths I don't think possible.
Yes, let's not go that far just yet. You know, after the performance, I will say this. On Monday, Phil, I was thinking Marquette had at least three losses coming its way this week. You know, three, maybe even four losses coming its way if Todd Mayo wasn't going to play this week. Now I'm a little more optimistic after that second half against Arizona State. So already one loss this week. As far as the rest of the week, how many wins do you think they get in the Wooden Legacy Classic without knowing the opponents? Are they getting three wins, winning the whole thing, or are they going to get shut out, get zero, or somewhere in the middle?
I think they get two, for sure, and it's really going to depend on who the opponent is for the third, which is, of course, wishy-washy, because I think if we get Arizona State again, I think we win that. If we get Creighton, I'm a little more nervous about that matchup than I would Arizona State.
Right, right. And I kind of agree with that. I'm hopeful that Marquette can beat Fullerton in the first game, not go back to its New Hampshire, Ohio State ways of playing offense. If we can get more of that second half Arizona State effort, Fullerton shouldn't be a problem. Then you get either Miami or George Washington, presumably Miami, which has taken a big step last year from last year when Marquette saw them in the Sweet 16. And of course, that was Marquette's big win in the NCAA tournament. Miami, not quite the team it was a year ago. You would think Marquette could take the Hurricanes again.
Yeah, I would think so. I think Miami is significantly down from last year, and you know they had a lot of graduation, a lot of talent leave. I'm sure they've got more in the pipeline, but it's early in the season for them too, and bringing in a lot of new talent is sometimes rough. And George Washington could give them a game. George right. Washington has Maurice Creeks, previously of Indiana, I believe.
Okay, right.
So, you know, so there's some talent on that team that's somewhat proven. So, who knows? I mean, either one, I don't think either one gives us a good or a bad matchup. I think we just, you play the opponent in front of you in that case.
Right. I think the tough thing to predict for Marquette is, you know, we really don't know who's going to be playing.
Right.
We don't know if Todd Mayo's going to play, because I think that greatly affects you know, what I think of the team, because I think with Mayo there, Marquette's could have a pretty good offensive team if you add him to what we saw on Monday.
Right.
I think we're still all assuming that Dwayne Wilson's not going to play. I think it's still going to be a while for him. But and plus, we still don't know what we're going to get from Jake Thomas. Are we going to get, you know, 16 points, or are we going to get what we saw in the first four games, or at least from Ohio State and the New Hampshire games there? And Derek Wilson, I think we almost kind of know what we're going to get from him.
Right.
You know, I don't. You know, he's not going to beat you with mistakes. You know, if Marquette loses games, it'll be, people will say, well, Derek made. No one's going to say Derek Wilson made a ton of mistakes. People will probably say Derek just didn't do enough. You know, he was kind of quiet.
Right.
Didn't. I don't know, I guess create offense, or didn't distribute the ball well, or you know, didn't initiate paint touches or anything like that. But I think Derek Wilson took a big step forward, and I don't think Derek Wilson's going to regress very much. I'm not saying he's going to get 14 points every night, but I still think you can count on him to get at least 5 assists every game and to not turn the ball over very much.
Yeah, well, and I think for sure they're now, you know, yes, it's one game, but you at least force the opponents to think about it a little bit and game plan for him a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're gonna have to at least think about, all right, what are we gonna do if he penetrates? Do we, you know, do we continue to sag? What are we gonna do? So, and I think in general, the performance we put up against Arizona State just kind of says, hey, you know, there's more threats here. You can't focus just on Devontae Gardner or whatever. So I think it'll open up some other things for some other players. And maybe we see Jameel Wilson step up because there's less focus on him or something. But I think you're right. Derek is, maybe he's not going to put up 14 points the next couple of games, but he'll get some points, and I think he'll get some assists. And most importantly, he won't turn the ball over.
And that's really, really all you can ask from him. So, you know, and as Buzz said, he's sticking with Derek no matter what we think, and
yeah,
I'm fine with that. Derek's going to play the lion's share of minutes at point guard for the most of, really the entire season, depending, unless there's a big breakthrough from Dwayne Wilson coming back from that injury, which I think that may be asking a lot. We'll see. Deal with that when we get there. I'm also kind of curious to see how the minutes are divided up, because they're playing 3 games in 3 days.
Right.
Especially among some of the big men. You know, how many minutes are Otule and Gardner going to play? I highly doubt we see them together very much, especially I would guess we really don't see them at all together in the first 2 games. Now, if Marquette gets in a position where they could win the whole thing and they're playing Creighton or Arizona State, then I think maybe Buzz might experiment with that. But I think this may be a chance for some of the freshmen to play a little more, maybe a chance for Burton to get a few more minutes. And I don't know if we'll see John Dawson or not, but, you know, if, you know, everyone's legs get a little tired in that second half of that second game, or as we go into the third game, I think maybe he may be needed for at least a few minutes to give some of the guards a rest there.
Oh, he's going to have to be. I mean, Derek Wilson played 39 minutes Monday night. He's not going to be able to play 39 minutes a night 3 nights in a row. It's just not possible. So we're going to, you're going to have to hope that Marquette really jumps out on Cal Fullerton early and allows the Burtons and the Dawsons to come in and steal some minutes to keep the legs fresh. If I think that's going to be a real good indicator of how we do in the tournament in general. If Fullerton is close and we have to put a lot of minutes on our starters, I think that just puts us behind the power curve that by the time certainly we get to the third game, we're going to have some pretty dead legs.
Yeah. And hopefully we see more good things from Juwan Johnson. And you know, a guy I would like to see break through and have a couple good games is Juan Anderson.
Yes.
Because this is a guy who's an upperclassman now. I mean, he's a junior. He's got plenty of experience in the system. I'm still not sure what position Juan plays, because he was the starter the other night. He was, like, kind of listed as the starter at the four.
Right.
So, I mean, he is definitely just a switchable, and he's just playing all over the floor, and I don't know if that's affecting his production. Or, you know, he's maybe have to learn defensive assignments at every position, and maybe that's kind of setting him back a little bit. But I really would like to see Juan Anderson, because you talk about flashes. I mean, the flashes are rare, but when you see him, you think, man, this guy could be a really good player.
Yeah. Well, and I think last night, especially early, when things weren't going real well, Juan was the only one that was really aggressive.
That's never been a concern, is aggression with him. You know, he's always been active, and he's never been lazy out there, that's for sure.
Right, but, I mean, he had a couple aggressive drives to the hoop. Again, they didn't necessarily result in buckets, but like you said, you can see the talent in him. You can see what he's capable of doing. Had some good aggressive rebounds. His defense was, again, very, very good. He's probably, if you're putting an all-defensive team together, he's probably one of the starters in the defense. Mm-hmm. He does those intangible things, which is always one of those things that the fans look at and say, oh, Juan's just not producing, but that's because he's not necessarily doing anything that fills a stat sheet, but he's kind of a glue guy. But I would like to see him. He's kind of a personal favorite of mine. I've always liked his game. It's just, can he put it all together and put solid minutes together?
Yeah, we'll see if he breaks through, and we'll see if Marquette can continue to build on a overall positive performance, albeit disappointing in the loss against Arizona State. Who knows, maybe Marquette may get another shot at the Sun Devils on Saturday if things go according. Quick prediction, Phil. Win, loss, and over whom the next 3 days? Give me your three-game prediction.
I say we win over Fullerton, we win over George Washington, and I think we lose to Crate.
I'm going to say win over Fullerton, win over Miami, and I will say a loss to Creighton as well. I'll say Creighton in the final.
So. I don't want to see them five times. I really don't.
Yeah, maybe just three.
Would you prefer, I guess that's the question, would you prefer Creighton for the first of many or Arizona State for
honestly,
the second?
Honestly,
like
if I could have
days.
My way, yeah, I would love to see Marquette get another shot at Arizona State and win.
Yeah.
Because Marquette's going to have chances to get quality wins over Creighton in conference. I would like to see maybe even San Diego State in the final, if San Diego State's going to be a good team from out west.
Yeah.
San Diego State tends to be a good team from the Mountain West year in and year out. If San Diego State's going to be good again this year, I wouldn't mind facing them and beating them.
If they're going
to be good this year. I don't know how good they're going to be, but I guess we're going to find out.
Well, the important thing is, and this is not panic by any stretch of the imagination, but we do need to get some quality wins in the non-conference schedule.
Is a very legit point, yes.
We don't want to have to, you know, we don't want to leave ourselves no margin for error in the conference play.
Right.
You know, so we've got potentially, you know, depending on how any of the opponents we play work out, but we've really got the Miami George Washington winner. We've got, you know, Creighton, Arizona State, or San Diego State. And then we've got Madison. Those are really the three non-con games that are of any significance.
Don't forget New Mexico in Vegas.
Oh, that's right. New Mexico. I did forget about New Mexico.
Yeah, New Mexico should be a solid team. But it's a very legit concern because as opposed to the past 8 years in the Big East where non-conference almost didn't matter because then your RPI in conference was going to be so strong, you really didn't need, you know, that many quality wins out of conference. But I think it's an honest point to bring up that if Marquette does not get a big win in this tournament and does not beat Wisconsin and doesn't beat New Mexico, Marquette's going to go into conference play and they could get, you know, they could get 15 wins in conference play and people would still say, who have you beaten?
Right.
You know, you don't have many, you know, and you don't, you know, if Marquette, say, falters in conference play and, say, ends up with 11 or 12 wins in the new Big East, that's not as good as 11 or 12 wins last year in the Big East. I mean, that could be the bad side of the bubble there if you don't have any good non-conference wins.
Right.
So I think it is important that to say Marquette does need a couple nice wins out of conference. Obviously, Wisconsin would be golden if they could get that, but that's looking ahead a little bit right now. But it would be nice to get a good start this week by beating, you know, one of those three teams, San Diego State, Creighton, or Arizona State, in this Wooden Legacy.
Yeah, well, yeah, because, I mean, there's a legitimate case that you could get to 20 wins, which is kind of one of the shorthand you're getting in the tournament if you have 20 wins kind of right. metrics. But you could legitimately get to 20 wins and be a marginal bubble team.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Depending on
who those wins are
against.
Yeah, in this new Big East, I mean, there just aren't an opportunity to go and beat Louisville or go and beat Syracuse or go and, you know, beat Notre Dame or somebody who's, you know, in the top 25. I mean, there are going to be some teams that are in there. I mean, Georgetown should be all right. I mean, they've been up and down early. Creighton should be ranked for the most part once the season gets going. Beyond that, I don't know if there's another team in the new Big East that I would say with 100% confidence is going to be ranked all throughout January and February. Maybe St. John's. I mean, I don't know. But you just don't want to risk it and go into conference play without any good wins.
Yep.
So that is a concern, and maybe that's something we'll keep an eye on going forward. We don't want to go back to the team bubble watch days.
I don't miss those days at all.
I don't either, but inevitably we may go back there, but hopefully not this year. But hope everyone has a good Thanksgiving, and thanks for tuning in to Scrambled Eggs. Again, we're on Twitter at Crack Sidewalks. You can follow me at JoeMcCann3. Follow Phil at MOOOF23. Post all the blogs on Crack Sidewalks as well as on our Facebook page. And, of course, we're on iTunes as well. Phil, did I leave anything out? Any final thoughts?
No, I don't think so. I think I echo the happy Thanksgiving. Everyone enjoy their time with family and friends. And be thankful that Marquette is playing meaningful basketball.
We're always thankful for that.
And yes.
Hopefully we have some games to be thankful for over the holidays. And we'll check back in next week for Badger Hate Week edition of the podcast, which...
Oh, I can't wait.
Is that copywritten, by the way? Can we say Badger Hate Week? Can we?
I think as long as we attribute it to, like, Anonymous Eagle, I think we're okay.
Maybe that's their thing, but we'll, you know... But I guess maybe we'll clear that with the lawyers and get back to you. But
yeah.
Appreciate everyone listening to Scrambled Eggs. Until next time, seashells and balloons, everyone.